LocalTheaterNY.com is where theater lives, and this is the podcast that helps bring it to life with behind-the-scenes interviews of the people who make theater happen, shares what's hot, who is hot, what's playing, what's opening, and what you can't miss in the New York tri-state area. What does it take to be a working artist in New York? For many, the definition of a career in the arts is more than a title or a singular form. It involves the ability to bring a unique and driven perspective that often takes years to develop. Today we meet actor, director, playwright, acting teacher, and artist, Beth Newbery. It's really appropriate that we're here at Lincoln Center today talking to Beth Newbery, who is, in my opinion, an artist, but she is a director, she's an actor, she's a teacher, an acting teacher, and she does many, many things. Beth, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Hi.
Hi. So here's my first question. We've already established that you do quite a few things. When people say to you, Beth, what do? Tell me what you tell.
I would say that I'm a creative artist that like to engage communities through using the arts.
Okay, so explain to me how you engage communities and through the arts, and what kind of arts are we talking about?
Well, mainly theater. I use theater as my basis, but I do use multimedia, so I can use film within the theater. And how I look at it is this, is that theater is a way or form of communicating social and political issues that are happening today within our lives. It can also be social changes. What I love about theater is how we can accept it in all diversities of cultures, and we can mix people within any age range, within any religion, philosophy. And I think that theatre that produces stories that highlight what we're doing today help to make people think, help them to grow, and help them to engage in each other. And I think that sometimes it's so easy to allow technology to take that over instead of interacting on a physical, emotional, and sensory level.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the technology part, because there has been talk about actors being cast because they have a lot of Twitter followers and Facebook followers and things like that. So mm-hmm. that connection, that emotional connection, mm-hmm. that social connection is very important. Give us an example of some of the ways that you do connect communities with the arts, and particularly something maybe that you're working on or have been working on recently.
Sure. For me, using theater in itself is having something to engage the audience so that the audience becomes spectators. One of the people that I worked with many years ago, and I did many workshops, and whom I have a lot of admiration for, is Augusto Boal, who in the early 70s and 80s created many workshops in Forum Theater and basically made people be spectators or spectactors. And basically that way they were acting within the performance without even realizing it, because they were reacting to something that was real, alive for them, and they didn't even know they were responding to that. So they would be physically asked how they wanted that play or story to end and represent itself. And through that engagement, what they were finding out was that, particularly through a political issue, how people felt about certain ideas and ways and manners around them. So what I did is I've developed that sense of method, if you like, and I, for instance, I'm writing a play now called The Wake. The audience will be my family and friends at the wake of my mother. And so they will have a taste of sherry. They will be given a real glass of sherry at the very beginning of the play. It'll be taken away from them when the wake is finished. They will highlight all of that within it, and they will be shouted at. I will deliberately pick somebody in the audience to shout at them, and I will react accordingly if they join in with me. And then I have to get back into the script. And I get actors to do that a lot. And it takes a lot for the actor, actually, because it's a skill unto itself. But when you get that, you're actually really engaging people in the community. So I love theater that actually represents that. So that's what I'm hoping to do more and more of.
I love that.
Spec actors?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great mm-hmm. idea. I mean, you know, there's been interactive theater, but you're bringing to it is a slightly different thing, because you also talk about, or dimension, I should say, think sounds so boring, but a sort of dimension. You talk about the importance of the actor not just being in the moment, but tell us a little bit about how you work with the actor feeling comfortable with his or herself.
With themselves,
And this ability to do something that goes beyond improv. This is not improv, per se. Mm-hmm, this is mm-hmm. performance, mm-hmm. but within the context of the audience involvement.
Yeah, I mean, I coach actors a lot, and one of the things that I find very, very important is to be comfortable with who you are as a person. When you're comfortable with yourself, you can deal with things far greater. So you take on a character from within rather than looking on all the training in the world is often external. So what I mean by that is that I can say, oh, this character is going to be this and I'm going to be that. When often you can enhance the qualities of yourself that's already part of that character. I'm playing a mother in the next production of Ellen Troy and Eloise, and I've already identified certain characteristics that I naturally do that is her. So I'm going to work with being comfortable with who that is. I accept that as myself. I accept that I am like that. I accept it within me. And then I work on that and what I would do, and that's enhancing myself. So then I'm comfortable with myself on stage. And I really work with the three worlds. First of all, being comfortable with yourself, then being comfortable and reacting. I never use the word acting. I like reacting to the person that I'm engaged with on stage. And then having a sensitive awareness of how the audience is responding there and then. So I can look at someone's handbag by still being there and observe that she's now paying attention to her phone, and then I will engage and use that.
Yeah, that's a very organic approach. I find it fascinating. You and I have spoken a little bit before mm-hmm. this podcast about the different acting processes or forms, and this sort of combines a few. Tell us what this combines and what you bring to it, because it's very unique to what's happening now in the theater world.
Well, I think it combines most of the main training methods and theories, Meisner in particular, Stanislavski in particular. However, I think it's like any method. It's what works for you as an individual. And when I coach, you know, I think it's from my own personal experience. I had a lot of really great training in the past. I'm from the UK and I'm a classical trained actress. But there were still elements of me that felt uncomfortable with who I am as a person. So when I started doing what I call sculpting, I'm sculpting myself. I want to accept and embody who I am. I want to totally be okay with who I am. And simply put, when you're happy with yourself and you are in acceptance, then you sculpt yourself to engage yourself to that character. I get actors to do pretty intense exercises, and when they do, it's kind of interesting to see how they grow and be more empowered with themselves. And they're more confident when they do an audition. They're far more radiant, confident, and comfortable. And I think that's the key, is just allowing and being comfortable. Because as you rightly said, you mentioned yourself, there are now casting directors casting for the popularity of social media. And I find that pretty sad, actually, because there are so many wonderful, talented young people, and well, not just young, but people out there who can miss out through the non-social concepts of their business. And I know it's part of the business, and I know that you have to be on social media. However, to use that as a means to populate, I want to use that word, a theater production or a film or a TV show, rather than the skills and the talent of an individual, to me is pretty wasteful, because it's what's going to happen in the future if that it becomes the norm. It's going to be right. working on the social concepts rather right. than the methods and being that great. It's going to be a celebrity status rather than a good actor.
One of the criticisms that actors and television and you know theater and just generally, especially as you said, not to say younger but newer actors face is this lack of training. Let's talk about the importance of training, because I think you have mentioned some exercises which I had really been fascinated by in terms of acting and training. And not to extend this question too long, but you also touch upon things that go a little bit beyond acting, more of a psychology or, you know, a therapeutical type of approach to the self. So, but let's go back to the training and understanding the self and talk more about that and some of the things that you do in your acting class.
Well, I think it's interesting, this term training. I think that every career path has training elements to it. And I think term training is very loose in the arts. You can train as a teacher for 30 years, but does that make you good?
Right.
You can train for 6 months and you could be brilliant.
Right.
So this whole concept to me of training, you know, it's fascinating. You know, there are people that have been picked up by the most famous directors, and they've made their first movie without any training, and they are awesome. They are completely amazing. So what makes that individual amazing compared with someone that's done 3 or 4 years training? Being comfortable is one of the things that I can identify. When you are comfortable as a person, you don't feel the need to work in a way of being obsessed, conscious of what they think of you whilst you're on stage or doing your performance. You're engrossed in what you're doing. Your whole thought processes are moment to moment within that concept. And because you know that you're always part of it, you don't question it. And I think that's the difference. So I work on being comfortable with who you are and very natural with that, so that it builds that whole concept of just allowing, rather than trying to impress. The word trying is out of my vocabulary when it comes to actors. Creative people need to be creative. So if you have creativity within you, but you restrict yourself, immediately it tells me you're not comfortable.
So how, as a teacher, and we're focusing, because we, later on we'll talk about your writing, because we did not mention at the beginning that you also write, but you do.
Yes, I do.
But let's go forward on this concept of being comfortable with the self.
Right.
So now let's say I'm one of your students. I walk into your class. Mm-hmm. What kind of things do you look for in me? And where do you point me? What direction do you take me?
Okay. I mean, the first thing I would do is I'd want to see you act. So although I actually don't like monologues very much, because many actors will learn a monologue in a robotic fashion in their rooms. And they will only identify with that way and that process, particularly with the communication. So inflections, intonations, pitch and pace are often limited because they haven't identified what they're responding to or with or where. So the first thing I'm going to identify is, are they there? Are they at that standard? Have they looked into what they are reacting to? Often I've seen many actors come in with a monologue and they start the monologue with the first line. I don't want to see the first line. I don't want to hear it until I see they are reacting to what's been spoken previously or the action that they have seen previously. So that's the first thing I'm going to look for. I'm going to look for the depth of their understanding, because even though it's a monologue, it is a monologue within a story. Are they portraying that snippet of a story, or are they seeing it just as a monologue?
Yeah, that's very true. I've seen a lot of auditions, and I've been at a lot of auditions where I've seen actors, all of a sudden their face changes, boom, and they're right in. But they're not really, use the word acting, but they're not really in the moment. They're sort of just throwing out those first few lines and then projecting from there. But you look for the person actually falling into that moment, falling into that place and time where the story is being told. So once you've seen this monologue and you've seen what they can or can't do with it, what happens next? What sort of things do you say need to happen next?
Well, it's not about a need. What I do then is I look for the adaptability of someone. So I will present a different persona for them. I'll give them a different emotion. And I'll say, can you try it this way? Can you do it this way? I'll give them some ideas. And I want to see how adaptable they are. If it's a sad, degrading, depressing moment for them, I'll say, I want you to try that in a comedy way.
Oh, fascinating.
Make it
okay.
funny.
All right.
I want to see how they can change that and use the words to that. I will then ask them to forget the monologue and just sit and think it.
Oh, really? Without any dialogue?
Without any dialogue. And then I want to see how comfortable they are without speaking.
Oh, I love that. That's absolutely... Okay, I really like that. That's very interesting. What kind of things do you bring to your acting class that are perhaps different from... I mean, again, I don't want to pick on the Meisner teachers. There's mm-hmm. tons of them in New
mm-hmm.
York.
Yeah.
But you see quite a few people who teach one style. And tell me what kind of things you bring from your training that are different to those teachers.
Well, I don't know about being totally different. I do know that first of all, I have to say I'm very honest. And I try to be honest. And I think that can be very difficult, particularly this day and age, because you upset people. You know, one of the things I hate doing is to disillusion people. So when there is work to do, you want work to do. If I don't feel something or I don't believe that, I will question it. And I'll say, listen, I don't believe that. Why are you thinking? I do a lot of movement with people. So I ask people to be totally free with a movement session. During that course, you can tell if someone's thinking about their next move. That's what I want to free up. I want to free up people from having to think forward thinking and planning ahead, because then they're not reacting to their body. And the body and the brain are totally connected. So you can be totally engaged in your head, but if your body's not engaged with you, then there's a limitation to the performer. And I want to say the term performer, because this is in all elements of performing. It's not just for acting. Dance is a form of what I want to say dance, but at the
right.
same time, through the dance, you are performing and you are acting within that dance. So to me, performing is the key element. So I bring a lot of that concept. I also use mirrors a lot. I like people to really look at themselves and then separate themselves. So they will analyze who that person is in the mirror. They will look at that person in the mirror. They will say, oh, what is it about that person? And I don't want to go into too much detail here, but then there's a next stage to developing that. And
So what you're saying is you want people to look at themselves in mm-hmm. the mirror, but not because they're practicing any kind of like facial expression or anything
mm-hmm.
like that. So let's be clear about that.
Yep.
But to actually objectively observe themselves.
Yep.
And then what do they get out of that? Without giving away too much, just give us a sense of how that then works.
Well, when you separate your identity by observation, you're reflecting on what you really see. We often look at ourselves in a term of what others, you think others are seeing, rather than from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand that concept. When you go into an audition, the first thing you do is, oh, I wonder what they think of me. Do they like me? Was that rubbish? Was that... It's all questions from their perspective. And I want people to start looking at it from your own perspective. I want people to ask the questions from themselves. Because as I'm talking to you now, if I'm thinking, oh, what's he thinking of me? Does he like me? Da, 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 da. It's all about from you. What about what I'm thinking? What about what I'm feeling? I am more important because I'm the one performing.
And that makes you more real, because otherwise you're just reacting. And again, reacting might not be the right word, but then you're trying to adjust to please me.
Yeah, and that's not then real. So if I'm in a performance and I understand that my character and how they feel about this person that's opposite me, how would I react when they're saying something? See, when I'm getting people to learn lines, I will say to them, don't learn the lines. Learn the lines that said before you. And think about what you would say.
Gotcha. So in other words, pay, that forces them also to pay greater attention, more attention to the full script and the full story,
exactly.
rather than just
their... listening then, rather than just waiting for the cues.
Exactly. Let's talk about the different types of actors that you work with. Do you have any kind of age limits? Do you work with older, younger? Talk about that.
I don't have age limits. In fact, I've worked with many, many young people in my time, and I've also worked with many older people. In fact, I had a gentleman that was over 60 who wanted to start going into acting. And then only a couple of weeks ago, I had an ex-actor, comedian, who used to act and was a great comedian from LA. He's now in New York, and he approached me and said, I want to go back into the business. He lost his way, and now he's realized and understood through these scripts that I had written for him to develop a showreel. He's now realized and understands what I'm talking about when I'm saying you need work to get to your game, because it's changed. You know, 15 years has changed. You can't just think you're going to pick it up and that's it. And
that's correct.
You know, so I'm kind of working on that concept for him right now. And he's a very interesting character, and he's definitely got talent. But talent is an all. And it's like I said to people, the people that make it are the ones with the determination and the very clear focus of what they want.
Let's talk about some of the projects that you're working on now. I know that you're directing one, you're acting on one, you've written one. You've told me a couple of interesting stories about work that you did with some of your earlier plays. Let's talk a bit about that for now.
Okay, sure. Well, my last play that I did, which I'm very, very proud of, is a play called Undone. It's a one-woman show, and it's about sex slavery, based on a true story. And one of the real reasons I wanted to present this, and it got into the Crane Theatre and Theatre Row, was because I wanted people to understand that not all sex slaves, particularly young girls, are from abroad. You know, they can be American. So that was very important to me. I wanted Americans in particular to identify that this is happening right here, right now. So that was very successful. In fact, they are in the process of reproducing that next year. And I'm very excited that the fact that we now have made it into a feature film. So I'm hoping that, you know, the feature film is going to, you know, come up to get the funding and get that done.
That's remarkable. Is there any kind of a crowdfunding campaign for that? Or
I don't work that way.
Okay.
I find that annoying.
Okay, asking for money, yes.
It's kind of interesting, but I think there's so many people doing that now, and I think it's a hit and miss thing. I'm a bit apprehensive about being part of that concept. And you're right, I'm in two festivals right now. One play that I'm directing, it's a short play festival. The play that I've actually cut to make this work is Felina, The Lover of Mankind. It's about a mother who portrays herself to be very sexually active. It is a comedy. However, underneath all of that is this sad, lonely individual who misses her husband who had passed away. It's about her and her relationship to the mother. The second play, which I'm very fascinated, is by an Australian playwright. And his writing is fantastic because it really does tell you as a performer what you need to do. It's great. And it's very insightful, it's very instinctive, and it's very natural in its flow. It's very creative as well. And it's a lighthearted drama. And I'm playing this brassy, loud, annoying mother who turns up to her daughter's place after 3 years. And her daughter realizes that the reason why I've turned up is because of man trouble. And obviously I've had a very active, you know, relationship. And I'm kind of intimidating a little bit. And she's just split up with her partner. And they live together. And I've turned up right at the terrible worst time. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's a half an hour production. It is based from a full play called Rebound, which the writer actually won an award for. So it's pretty cool that I'm being part of this. And it is a premiere because it's never been done here before.
That's fascinating. And it's keeping you very busy, obviously. What are some of the things that you hope to accomplish or do here in New York within the next couple of years? I know that you said you write, and we didn't really touch upon that.
Right.
Do you have any projects that you're writing or anything like that that you're working on?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely writing The Wake, which is my next play. It's going to be a full play. And I'm also doing a play called Divided, which is going to be great because it's... it's a play with seven women in it, six young and one older. And it's based upon girls and how they were slaves to the men, the officers in Germany during the war.
Oh.
So it's a very interesting dynamic. It's about how they are divided within themselves because they want to achieve stockings, the best men to go with. And then it turns into how that hasn't changed because right now on our very doorstep it's still happening, but
right.
Kind of almost like under the carpet type of thing. So it's very fascinating. So I'm definitely developing that. I did a little short play on that for 15 minutes and it went down very, very well. And it was very well received. In terms of the future, I have a company called Infusion Arts, which is all about the communities and cultural theater, the concepts of stories from Africa mainly. And I want to develop Infusion Arts over here. I'm working with another company called Mob Styles, working for the communities. And I'm actually working in the summer at schools as well and doing a project called Stop the Hate campaign. We've got some wonderful funding about it, and I'm helping to train and develop all of that type of work. So it's using theater in a way to enhance communities and, you know, disadvantage young people within schools and stuff like that. So it's kind of getting well received, and so I'm hoping to develop that and make some more connections for Infusion Arts and develop that type of work, because that to me is what theater is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Theater has to be part of the community and part of the world around us. I'm fascinated by some of the new things that you bring to the game, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a lot of the same things, but you're kind of bringing some innovative and different styles, if you will, and doing a lot of different things. You
mm-hmm.
mentioned multimedia before.
Right.
You mentioned film and theater. What other things are you working on?
Well, I did a wonderful project. There's me, I'm bragging. And it was called Infusion.
You're not bragging. It's perfectly fine to be proud of something.
Well, Infusion was a very moving moment for me. I'd worked with people with disabilities and learning disabilities, and I mixed them into the bag of a couple of professional actors. I mixed them into the bag of amateur actors, young people that are drama school. And we compiled this theater piece called Infusion using video, theater, song, dance, and masks that people had made.
I see.
And it was very touching. We had a lot of parents that really did have full-on tears. And we got a huge write-up. And the wonderful Christopher Eccleston also gave them praise and wished them good luck for their performance because he supported what we were trying to do.
Well, I am absolutely fascinated by all the different types of things that you're bringing to the table. How can someone reach out to you if they want to take one of your classes or one of your workshops or perhaps hopefully produce one of your plays? What's the best way to reach you and best time to reach you?
Well, at the moment, I'm having a new website developed. It's beth@bethnewbury.com. And Newbury is just one R, E-R-Y at the
That's
end.
That's right.
You can also reach me on info@infusionarts.org. And I'm sure you'll be able to give them my telephone number in the write-up.
That's right, and there will be a write-up. There will be notes along with this mm-hmm. podcast. It will be on iTunes. Folks, first of all, I want to thank you, Beth, for being on
thank
the show
you.
And talking to us about some of the things that you're doing. And secondly, I want to invite people to please subscribe to our iTunes podcast and to mm-hmm. please share. Reach out to Beth, and there will be information here on the notes on how to do that. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you so much.
Well, go get them. I'm looking forward to seeing you at those two festival shows.
All right, thank you.
And that's it for today's podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. If you like our show, we ask that you leave a comment on iTunes and let us know what you think. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and visit our site to sign up for our mailing list. Or email me directly at localtheaterny@gmail.com. Remember, that's theater, R-E, not E-R. Signing off, here's to encores and standing ovations. I'm Roger Gonzalez. This podcast is the copyrighted property of Alliance Media and Communications 2015. All rights are reserved.